in a special meeting of the City of Hudson Planning Board to hear from Backbar and to hear from Verizon. We're waiting for two more members of the planning board to sign on here. So if you just give us a moment, we will start the meeting in less than 2 minutes. Welcome, everybody. Linda, would you please do a roll call?
Sure. Steve?
Here.
Hi, Steve. Larry? Clark? Laura? Teresa? Betsy?
Here.
And John?
Here.
Okay.
John Cody.
Okay, so the first item on our agenda is Backbar. John Friedman, welcome. Take it away. Thank you for those site plans today.
Well, yeah, so you have your drawings.
Yeah, now he's not.
They show the dimensions of the tent on the what? The elevation shows the height.
What?
Oh. Tents are only on the east side, and it's not 100% certain that we're gonna have the tents again. We may or may not. You show two entrances and exits in both the two front spaces. There's a Warren Street entrance exit on both and on the walkway. And each one is, I think, 60 inches or 6 feet rather. The ADA requires 44 inches. So they exceed the ADA requirement. You're showing the seating and the tables and the planters. The little round things are whiskey barrels. Those are also planters. But they're just an interior planters.
John, this is Betsy, I have a quick question for you. I noticed in this plan that there are two openings to Warren Street for access, ingress and egress. Mm-hmm. Will those be monitored in any way?
Yeah, at night, they're the way that we would have a security person at the main entrance, the old main entrance at the end of the walkway.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll have security people at these two entrances.
Excellent.
We're only starting on the east side, just so it's clear. We're starting on the east side only, and then if there's enough demand, we'll open up the west side as well. But I think they're building the planters for the whole to line both sides, whether or not we open and serve in that section or not.
Excellent.
Because they're being done by the contractor.
Yeah, nice, Betsy.
Okay, great. Board, do you have any questions for Mr. Friedman?
I do. If the tent is up, I'm sure you'll have lighting in the tent. If it's not, will there be lighting, exterior lighting to the building?
There's some lighting on the frontage of the building, I think. That's
okay.
Going to be there. That's already there. If the tents go up, they'll have lighting on the inside of them.
Okay.
I think that they're going to extend the fairy lighting that exists in the existing garden past the chain link fence on the wall to 355-57 Warren.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's street lighting. There's street lighting there.
Okay.
All right.
And the lighting that's there is downcast light, correct?
Everything is down, yeah.
Okay.
No wash outside of the property line.
Thanks. These are great drawings, by the way.
Well, one of our members is an architect.
That's a good thing.
And did everybody see the late coming in one from John? I think it came in about 4:50 that showed, well, Jeff, maybe you can pop that one up.
The elevation?
The elevation, yeah. Did everyone see that? If not.
Yes, I did.
Is there anyone that did not see the elevation?
I can get that up right now.
There you go. Nice. So I appreciate that this shows that the tent does not go higher than the building, which is excellent.
It doesn't go higher than that pipe. I can't really tell. It looks like it's a total of 13 feet in height. It's a standard tent. We talked to Cantel. They gave us the dimensions of the tent. That's the same size tent that we have been using in the large garden in the rear every summer for the last few years. And it's the same tent that we've used in the front portion on the east side when we've had the wine festivals there. And we've also had some private events in a tent that size in that location.
Okay. These are excellent. I want to echo John Cody's comments. These are very easy to understand now, and I am very grateful. Anybody else have any comments they would like to share?
Now that we have these drawings, which I agree with everyone else that's so satisfying to see, has Craig looked at these things and he's good with this?
He has seen them. Yes, he has.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, just a
can question. Can I just ask quickly, Mr. Friedman, you said the tent is still, it's still a question of whether you'll use the tent. Should we just assume that every other aspect of the plan will be the same? We can just imagine it with or without the tent, essentially.
Yeah, we're only going to put the tent up there if we can afford it.
Yeah. Please at home, the cat just walked in front of the screen.
Board, I do want you to know that I got an email. I'm not sure if you were all on it today, from Tamara Adler.
I got it.
Yes, we got that.
We were.
Good. Okay. Endorsing the project.
Does this drawing indicate where the heaters are going to be placed?
No. But, you know, we would probably put them somewhere in place of the whiskey barrel planters, because the whiskey barrel planters always have annuals in them. They wouldn't be doing anything in cooler weather. So we would probably move them to the edges and put the heaters in those locations, I imagine.
And also, we know that those heaters are always, they're easy to transport. They're not fixed, so that putting them on a plan like this doesn't seem like it would really make a lot of sense, because they could be moved.
But when and if we approve the application, should the fact that there will be heaters, Betsy and or Jeff, should that be indicated in the approval? I mean, right now, there's nothing that says anything about heaters. So,
I don't think it's legally required to put it in. If you want to certainly note that they are allowed, we can make a notation in the approval for that. But I agree with Betsy. Yeah, there's no reason to identify a specific location.
I mean, that seems like something that's entirely at the discretion of the business. You know, if they want to serve people in cold weather, that's on them. Well, I don't have a fire safety concern about the heaters.
Okay. And is there a sound? Do tents, even though they're open on all four sides, but you know, the top, does that help with sound mitigation at all?
I'm sure it does somewhat. I know it does somewhat. But I don't think it's going to be really any different than when they put a tent in the back garden.
We don't have any exterior music.
No exterior music, that's right. No amplified music out there.
In the proposed conditions I sent you, it says you'll continue the prior conditions that apply to the restaurant and bar now. So, yeah, it wouldn't change any of that in terms of the noise.
No.
I mean, other than the extent of just people milling around and being outside, I mean, they generate some noise, but that's not an issue usually.
And I actually have a question about that. So now the whole business is, you know, moved close to Warren Street. And what will the hours be for the tents? You had mentioned something, John, and I didn't write a note on it.
Yeah, whatever hours we operate, it's under the existing site plan. We operate from, it depends. Some days we serve lunch, some days we don't. On the days we serve lunch, I think we open at 11:30 and we stay open until anywhere from 2 to 4 in the morning. And on days when we don't serve lunch, we open up at about 5 and continue on until 2 or 4 in the morning, depending on traffic. If there's no traffic, they close early. If there's not, they stay open under their license.
I think it's 2 o'clock.
Can you see my screen that I've got the existing permit up there that have the hours of operation?
That's the outside. That's the outside operation.
Outside. Okay. Yeah. Right, I guess that's right. Yeah.
So this would stay.
Nothing's changing.
Yeah. Great. Any other questions, board?
Yeah.
Do we want
question, Betsy?
Yes.
I know when we did the first the approval of maybe about 2 years ago. And I know, John, you mentioned that all the conditions, of course, will stay in place. But I recall that we had some agreement where you would close the 2 of the 3 garage doors, if I'm not mistaken.
It's in there.
That internal sound.
That's number 3.
Sorry?
Yeah, it's number 3 there on the screen.
Okay. Got it. Yep. Good. Thank you for that. 10 o'clock. Just as a reminder that that's also going to stay, even though you'll have more bodies outside, apparently, right?
Everything stays the same.
Yes.
The only thing that's changing is where we're doing it.
Okay. So, I feel satisfied that Backbar has supplied us with plenty of information here to make a decision about this. So, do I have anyone that wishes to make a motion?
So moved.
John Cody, do I have a second?
Can I interrupt for a minute, if I could, before we finalize that?
Yes.
I think you should discuss what conditions you want to apply and make a motion, including whatever, you know, the conditions I sent you that you want to include change.
Yes, you did. Sorry, I don't have that up here.
Oh, here. I can put them up on the screen. Hang on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you see that?
These are the recommended provisions for the site plan approval that this is a temporary site plan to be used on the northern portion of the property. It's really the portion of the property as an open air area for serving food and beverages. Backbar may erect and maintain up to 2 open sided tents. We've discussed the size, 40 by 40 max. Height of each tent may not exceed the height of the building on the property. But now that we know the exact height of those tents, perhaps we should put that exact height in.
I don't know. They may change it. I think unless we do have any, you know, you've got a point of measurement there for Craig. I think, you know, this is good without making it too restrictive.
Okay. Let's see. Permission is granted under this temporary site plan, become effective. An order from the state of New York, the state liquor authority, or the Department of Health that eating and drinking establishments must reduce their permitted capacity by at least 50%.
That's too restrictive. That's too restrictive. But what if they do it by 49% or 51%?
I agree with John. Can we make that more open-ended? The permission granted.
It's not just that even if they didn't
I don't think that there's any chance that we're not going to deal with a capacity reduction of at least 50%. But it could be less. It could be more. I hate hard numbers in case, for one reason or another, something changes. The other thing is that we've been closed for 3 months, and we haven't made any money for 3 months. We have rent and utilities and insurance, and we've kept the payroll going. We've borrowed a lot of money to do that. And, you know, we're going to hopefully get a lot of that forgiven. But, you know, we really need to be making money. Every restaurant, every bar, every store in Hudson needs to be. They're all going to come to you at some point or another if they can figure stuff out for themselves or if the city can figure it out for them. And look for an increase for capacity and particularly open air capacity because it's so much perceived to be healthier. I think it's, you know, I think that any reduction in capacity, if you don't want us to do it until we get some reduction in capacity, fine. But that may make it more difficult for us to get the state liquor authority to give us permission to add that to our licensed premises because I'm not aware of them granting a springing amendment to a licensed premises. It's either in the licensed premises or it's not in the licensed premises. And the only exception to that that I'm aware of is for seasonal licenses. And they spring on a date certain and they terminate on a date certain.
Now, I totally agree with you, John Friedman, and this is Betsy, and I would like to strike number 4 and amend number 5 just to simply say this temporary site plan shall expire on January 2nd, 2021. And the reason I feel comfortable doing this is I think what Backbar has demonstrated is that they've sort of given other eating and drinking establishments a template for how they might be able to open and how they might be able to get back to business. And I think this is unusual circumstances this year. We're only doing this for this year. If they want to continue this activity in 2021 for the next summer, they have to come back to us and we'll have a full review. But for right now, I would like to give them as much as we possibly can to make them viable.
I agree.
I agree too. And why don't, you know, the 50% is also in number 4. Why don't we just change that to a capacity designated by the authority or by the state liquor authority.
Well, I think it's back C7.
We just let them open and do it. Why don't, as long as the state liquor authority says they can open, let's just let them do it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So then within 3 calendar days is just, okay. So we'll stand there. Within 3 calendar days of expiration of the temporary site plan pursuant to condition 5.
We can just change this and say by January 5th.
That's what I think. Or yes, by January 5th.
Is that enough time? Do you need, like, what if they need 4 days? You know what I mean?
I was giving them extra for the weekend. I mean, it's just, I threw a number out there. There's no magic. Whatever you want.
John Friedman?
I'm sure we can live with 5 days. It's the tent company takes it down and the planters and the tables, we just move into the courtyard and lock them up for the season.
So January 7, 2021, the site will be cleared. The next one, the numbering's all changing now. So this one needs a little bit of work. Right now it says, if prior to the expiration of the temporary site plan set forth in condition 5.
No, because then prior to January 2nd.
Yeah, okay. The applicant submits an application to either extend the temporary site plan or seeks to make the modifications permanent. The use of the area and the maintenance of the equipment and furnishings in that area may continue pending a decision on the application. That's encouraging you to come back and do this again next year.
Well, it's just saying if it's going to continue, you don't necessarily have to take it down in the meantime while you're applying.
Well, could I say, okay, it seems to me that Backbar, hopefully by, you know, within a few months, will know if they plan to apply to keep this a permanent thing. And it would be best if they could reapply for a permanent position before, you know, a couple of months or a month before, so that, you know, I guess I'm not particularly, I'm not comfortable with saying, you know, they can keep doing this until we, you know, an application is put in that is agreed upon. Is that making sense?
You can't serve liquor outside after January 2nd. Our seasonal license will end on January 2nd.
You could do it that way. It is kind of a standard provision in a lot of permits and permitting schemes that if you're up for renewal and you make a timely renewal application, you can continue your operation while it's pending. It's just sort of a kind of an equity situation, but you can do whatever you want.
John, I think, just said that the liquor license will be, but
he could serve food or still use the space. You know, he wouldn't have to take all of the equipment down or the planters. I mean, if they're going to, anyway, I just put it out there as something that's often a convenience to an applicant. You don't need to have it. You can take it out or change it however you want.
See if anybody, we're moving around and now I can't, what number are we talking about now?
It shows as number 6 now. If prior to January 2nd, 2021,
okay,
it's this one here.
Then moving on, number 7, all the operating conditions set forth in the site plan approval issued on April 12, 2018 shall remain in effect. No additional outdoor music shall be permitted in the temporary use area. And number 8.
Did we finish number 6?
No.
Did we not?
I don't think we finished number 6.
Sorry about that.
So number 6 is saying, so you're saying if they put an application in by January 2nd, they can let everything stay the same until the decision is made?
Yes.
Okay.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
I'm not, but I guess.
Let me just point out something. Let's assume for argument's sake you're not happy with the way the operations have been or something for whatever reason, and there are complaints about it. And January 2nd comes, and they put an application in sort of at the last minute. And we can change the time frame for when they have to put an application in. But let's assume the worst case that an application is put in at the last minute. You're unhappy. You would have a meeting at your next meeting of the planning board, and you could take action right away to tell them to stop. Well, they wouldn't be able to. Your worst case scenario that, you know, something's going on that you think is a problem or that you want to change, you would be able to act pretty quick on it. But if you're not comfortable with that, you can still, you know, we don't have to have this provision. Just make them shut down, clear everything out. Or you can have them so
that. I'm just trying to suggest that. And I don't know if this needs to be language, that instead of waiting till January 2nd, I'm choosing this date, you know, if Back Bar decides that it wants to continue this, then to get an application into us in a timely way so that we're not doing, you know, we're not saying, you know.
Do you want to say December 1st?
Yeah, just whatever would.
Give me direction from the board. You folks decide. What date would you like?
Does anybody else want to chime in here?
I have a question. How are the dates set by the state liquor authority or whoever else has to do approvals of these things?
We tell them what dates we want to operate.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So because, John Friedman, you're going to have a, presumably the SLA is going to give you permission through January 2nd, there's no reason for us not to mirror that. Is that correct?
Well, we have to submit the site plan that you approve with the application to modify the licensed premises definition.
Okay.
So it's going to, their license is going to say what the site plan says.
I'm just talking about this provision that Jeff is.
Yeah, suggesting. I understand. If the site plan says that on or prior to some date certain, we have to submit an application to extend it. It's not going to actually affect the SLA, because the SLA is only going to look at two things. What date are you going to start, and what date are you going to stop the season? How do you define your season? Some places define their season like a ski mountain. Their season starts when the weather is cold and extends until the weather gets warm and then stops. Ours extends beyond the warm weather, but only because we think it's a special issue right now, you know, that we won't be able to use our inside space as densely as we have in the past. And we also need to make up for lost time. And we've also lost a lot of parties and offsite catering events,
right,
that we had booked last year. We had a return, very substantial dollar number of deposits against revenue that we will no longer be making this year, for a variety, you know, and maybe not next year either. But we call the SLA, this is the date we're going to start, which is the day you tell us we can be in business, we'll be in business. Okay. And we're going to end on January 2nd, 2021.
So we don't need number six then.
It's a different issue, really, Laura. It's more about what happens with the materials if we decide that we want to kind of store it in space and do it again the following year. Then we have to come back. Anything beyond January 2nd in this space, we have to come back. We can't do anything after January 2nd. What this section allows us to do is keep the materials in place, and theoretically we could all serve food out there, but I will tell you that as a practical matter, if we can't sell liquor, we ain't serving food. So if you're sitting out there just to eat, you know, we're not going to be working out there. Our employees aren't going to be serving that area just for food, because we don't make money that way. That's not the business we're in. No restaurant is in the business of selling food. We use food to bring people in so they'll buy our liquor. And so this just lets us keep the materials there, but it's somewhat irrelevant because the tent isn't ours. So once we're done paying rent on that, the tent goes away. It goes back to the contractor that owns it. In this case, it's Cantel, we always use. The whiskey barrels that are in the center of the site, we use a skipjack and we move them into the gated area. All of the furniture that's in the back garden gets concentrated together and wrapped up in tarps, so to try and minimize seasonal damage, but it's left outside in a secure area. And that's where probably everything would go, you know, that somebody could cart away.
But John, I hear what you're saying, but actually this doesn't give you the permission to keep the stuff in the area. It only does if you're putting in an application to extend the temporary site plan.
Correct. So that would, if we don't want to keep doing it, we wouldn't want to keep the material there regardless. You know, we would take it out at that point.
I really don't care.
Can I ask a question? Before you apply to extend you'd have to get licensed to serve liquor on the outside, right?
Yes. Well, in these areas, we already have outside garden is inside our licensed premises.
Areas that we're talking about. So when you go to apply for your license again to be extended or renewed, you have to know that you're able to have that air to work in that area, right?
We have to submit any changes to our site plan anytime we seek to change our operation. The only thing that the SLA lets us do without getting permission is paint and rearrange the furniture. That's it. Everything else we have to get permission to do.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that, Laura, I think you're right. They should come to us prior to January 2nd if they need to know whether they're going to stay outside.
It would be nice, because then they're not rushing, we're not rushing. I mean,
yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessary to put that in this.
or maybe not.
I mean, we could, you know, I could take out this whole provision. We don't necessarily need it. It was, like I said, it was a courtesy. It may not actually be helping anything. So we can change the date to like January to December 1st or a different date if you want, or we can take it out.
I kind of feel like the risk is relatively low to the city in a sense, because I think that the absolute worst case scenario is that this is an incredibly disruptive outdoor space. And then if they come back at the last minute and apply, you know, and under that condition, Jeff, I mean, we could just have a special meeting if this was some sort of like emergency situation.
Frankly, if it was that bad, Craig should be enforcing against it anyway. But yes,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So I suppose my mindset is I think we should just give them flexibility, especially you know, given the conditions under which we're operating here. And it seems like unlikely we're going to be in that sort of worst case scenario.
And if Beckwell comes back, you know, we certainly would have a public hearing if they want to extend this temporary site plan. So there's even less risk, because I think you know that we would not again not have, we would have a public hearing if they come back to extend it. So whatever you guys want to do.
Well, I actually definitely strike number 6.
Okay.
The first meeting of the year is the 13th as well, so it's right around the corner.
All right, so I'm taking out number 6.
Yes, please, Jeff.
Okay.
All right, and the final two provisions, all the operating conditions set forth in the site plan approval issued on April 12, 2018 shall remain in effect. No additional outdoor music shall be permitted in the temporary use area. And finally, the applicant must comply with all applicable requirements of the State Liquor Authority and the City of Hudson Code Enforcement Officer.
And John, there's nothing in here about lighting. Now, I know you spoke to that already. Do you need anything in there just in case you need some lighting? Because right now you don't have, is John still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there. Right now you don't have outdoor lighting over there. You want to put something in there just in case?
We have street lighting and we have exterior lighting on the wall or on the exterior portion of the building. And I think I mentioned that the plan was to extend the fairy lighting along the wall on whatever the building is that has Modo, the coffee shop in it.
Gallery.
Yeah, gallery and Modo. We would extend the fairy lighting along those walls. It's like Christmas tree lights. They don't wash. There's no wash outside of our property line.
Okay. All right, if you're fine with that, then that's great.
All right, so we had a motion made by John Cody. Do I have a second?
Second.
You've seen any additional comment? Okay, Linda, would you take a roll call, please?
Sure. Teresa. Larry.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Laura.
Yes, but we're including these conditions.
Conditions, yes. And Stephen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Two more. John.
Yes, for me.
Yes. Okay. Good luck to you, John Friedman, and all the gang at Back Bar. I hope this works really, really well for you and it inspires others to follow suit.
Thank you. I look forward to receiving the written authorization so I can file it with the SLA.
Do I need to stamp your plans with the city of...
No, I need a written site plan approval signed by whoever's got to sign those things.
Okay, John. Jeff, will you write that up, please?
Yeah, I don't know if you have a form. I'll get Linda my conditions that we did tonight, and
thank you.
She can put that in. I'll clean that up.
Great.
But don't you need to stamp it just anyway, Bessie, just for us?
Yes.
Okay. I have the stamp, so it's easy. Okay. I'll just print it and stamp it, and we'll get everything, John, to you. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay, on to our second order of business, which is a pre-planning conversation with Verizon. Who is here to discuss this with us from Verizon?
Scott, are you awake?
Is that Charlie? One
mute? That would be Scott Olson and Charlie DuBois, I think. Scott, you connecting?
And Charlie, your sound is off.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
There you go. Where's Scott?
That I don't know.
Showing up on here. There he is.
Scott? Can you hear me now?
There you are. Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, Scott.
I'm having the most technical difficulties ever experienced, so sorry for that. Hence no video. My webcam is broken. My Mac wouldn't accept the password for the Zoom meeting, so anyway, at least I have a voice.
So why don't you share it? What are you proposing?
Sure. So Verizon Wireless is looking to put some antennas, a total of six, on an existing building located at 119 Columbia Street. And I know we submitted site plans to the board, and I think I can share them unless Jeff has them.
Yeah, I can do it. Hang on a minute.
Yeah. You know, with the state of my technical difficulties, I probably couldn't do it.
All right, let's see. All right, can we see it?
Yeah.
Notwithstanding, it's called Athens Village. They are in the city of Hudson.
Correct, and that title will be deleted on the final plans that we submit. So
you'll have to tell there, me what you want to show, Scott. So
you know, right there is a quick. It shows you an aerial view. The dashed black line is the property line for the property that we're talking about. It's a five-story building, and Jeff, if you scroll down to the next screen, that will show you just kind of an aerial of what we're proposing. In the center of the screen, there's a non-penetrating equipment shelter, not a shelter platform, where we'll put some equipment on. It'll be more or less in the center of the roof, give or take. And then on three of the four corners of the building, we are proposing to put two antennas at each corner, so a total of six antennas on the building. The line that you see kind of running across the building, or the two lines, those are basically one's a roof warning line for our people, and they're up there to, believe it or not, warn them that they're getting close to the edge of the roof. It's, I think it's an OSHA requirement. And the cabling will also be located on the roof between the equipment and the antennas. If you want, Jeff, if you would slide down on the slide. Yeah, that just gives you a little more detail in terms of, you know, what the equipment layout's going to be. I think if you go down one more further, you're going to get, yeah, profile or elevation view. So that shows you on each, you know, on the left side, well, on the left side, you have two different antenna sectors, two antennas per sector. And as you go towards the right, you come to our equipment platform, which is where we have outdoor equipment located. And then all the way on the other side, the right side, if you're looking at it, would be our third sector. Again, two antennas on that sector. So this being a pre-application meeting, we were just wanted to give a brief overview about what we're looking to do. We are working on putting together the additional application materials, and I don't know if the board would be in a position to talk about what type of visual analysis that you would like to see. We do have a visual computer generated view shed that was done after I believe I submitted the plan. So you don't have it, Jeff. And what it shows is, if I could share the screen, I don't know, I could show you. It shows you that the antenna and the installation that we have that are proposing will not be visible for the majority of the surrounding area. There's only a tiny, tiny portion where you'll even see these things. So that, in a nutshell, is what we're looking to do.
Scott, this is Betsy Gramco. Is this proposal substantially different than the one that you submitted? I think it was in 2018.
Only that it's a different building. So it's similar, and we were trying to accomplish a similar goal. But as you may recall, after we were told after we entered into the lease by the folks that owned that building that there were some major issues and that it may have been in the process of being decommissioned. And then they came back and said that we couldn't go there. So
that's the thought I recalled. I just wanted to make sure that this it just seemed so similar to me.
Exactly. So the need did not go away. So the need, you know, we applied, I think it was last year. Again, we had one meeting. The need still stayed there, but when we were told we couldn't use that location, we had to regroup and find an alternate location, which is what we did here.
Scott, this is Larry Bowen. I have a question. What is the need?
Thank you.
The need right now is twofold. We have surrounding sites that are out of capacity, and we will show you that in a radio frequency analysis that shows you, I think it's three surrounding sites that are just being destroyed. They don't have the physical capacity to handle the communications needs that are in the city of Hudson right now. Second purpose of this is to also provide additional coverage in the 21 megahertz frequency. Verizon Wireless currently operates three or four separate frequencies under separate licenses from the FCC. The 2100 megahertz frequency is in the process of being built out, basically. So the city does not have acceptable service in that frequency, so we have to build it out. So coverage and capacity, those are the two purposes.
I have a question, John Cody.
Sure.
Given the capacity, given where it's located, and I brought this, I think, up at the last, when we last met at City Hall. I live on the south side of Hudson, and Warren Street, Union Street, and beyond slopes downhill from there. One of the problems that happened when Verizon moved their facilities to the top of the hospital was that we lost signal. And I talked to a Verizon guy, and he said, yeah, well, you did because you're in the pit, because we didn't have a signal here. And I'm wondering, since these are kind of line of sight types of things, it might be a better question for an engineer, whether that will solve our problem on the south side of the city with a better signal here, because I have to go to certain windows in my house to talk on my Verizon phone.
And I understand that feeling. I do. Yeah. And I don't know the specific answer to that question, but I wrote it down, and I will have our engineer, who is in the process of preparing his analysis, take that into consideration. The one thing you will get in that analysis, though, it will be some computer-generated graphics that show you the extent of the coverage that is associated with this new site. So hopefully we'll be able to pinpoint where exactly you're talking about and see whether or not this site will serve that area.
Okay. All right, that'd be good. And you're right. I pretty much thought it was an engineering question. And that was who gave the answer. One of your engineers gave the answer the first time. So,
okay.
Looking forward to it.
But I will at least, you know, what I'll do is I'll preempt them, give them that question up front, so we don't have to wait until after the analysis is done to then address it. We can address it right away.
Excellent.
You welcome.
Thanks.
So, Scott, this is Laura Margolis. So the last time you were here, and I'm going to use layman, you know, language here because I don't remember what the wordage was, but the last time in your application, there was something about us having basically that we kind of have to approve what you're doing. You have the right to. Right? Or does that change now that it's a different building?
No. You don't have an obligation to approve this. You have although the Telecommunications Act and the federal government have done things to help facilitate the deployment of these facilities, they still have left local municipalities with the right to engage in a review of zoning. And this is not a site where there are other antennas on that building, I don't believe. If there were other antennas that were used by, say, T-Mobile or AT&T, then yes, you would have 60 days within which to approve this. Otherwise, that would be under the... Middle class, job creation and tax relief act that was done in 2012. But this, because we don't have antennas up there, you can engage in your review. There are still time frames within which to do it, but you do not absolutely have to approve this. We like to think once you see our materials, you will gladly approve it.
Scott, this is Steve Klein. Sorry, Laura. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve.
Well, then just a follow-up question on what you said. If we approve this site plan eventually, does that mean that other companies like AT&T and others will have a sort of expedited path to build other antennas at this same site?
So, yes, under the existing law that I just referenced, once this site is approved, if it is approved for wireless communications purposes, if AT&T were to come and say, we want to put antennas on the roof, and they don't go significantly higher and they stay within all the requirements, then you would have 60 days within which to approve it. Now, you could still deny it, but they could sue and would win. So essentially, the federal law says you would have to approve it because they want to encourage the deployment of these facilities, and if a certain base station like this is approved, they feel as long as there's not a major expansion of that, there's no reason why others shouldn't be approved.
I have a question related to that. You know, we have a great history in our country of putting equipment and infrastructure in our poorer neighborhoods where people bear the brunt of the visual and environmental consequences of these systems in their neighborhoods. And they don't always have a say in whether these things are desirable or not desirable. And, you know, what's Verizon's outreach been like to the residents of Bliss Towers? Are they aware that this is going to happen? How are we making sure that we don't create a scenario in which people fear that electromagnetic radiation is going to enter their homes? You know, what are we doing to make sure that this is a safe deployment and to make sure that we address issues of, frankly, environmental justice, especially given the fact that if we approve this, we could have three times as many. So not six antennae, but 18, right? That'll be impossible to screen or mitigate.
Okay, so you raised some interesting questions, and the first I would say is this site will be designed to be fully compliant with all FCC requirements and emission thresholds. The very fact that these antennas are above 33 feet above the ground means that there is no safety concern for the general public. Now, because it's a rooftop, there will be certain OSHA requirements and certain, you know, certain areas around, immediately surrounding the antennas are blocked off so people can't have access to them. So what we in terms of how we're going to be protect people, we will fully comply with the OSHA regulations and FCC regulations. In terms of social justice, that's interesting because I could suggest that if we didn't, and I don't know this area, so I don't know if it's an area of lower income, et cetera. If we avoided them, we would be not providing this group of individuals with the service, and someone could argue that we're somehow disenfranchising them for that reason. We're putting it in this area because we have a need. Verizon Wireless doesn't care if the need involves rich people, poor people, anything. They just have a need to serve people. And if you don't have sites in areas where people are, people don't have service generally. I don't know if that goes towards answering your question.
Well, have you done, has the company done outreach? I mean, do the residents who live, you know, on the top floor there, who are going to now have antennae over their heads, you know, 12 inches away from the top of their apartment, do they know this is happening or might happen?
And not yet. Right. Not yet, but they will once the application is submitted and once this board decides to hold a public hearing, which I'm assuming it will. And so they will be giving an ample opportunity to, you know, to comment on this and ask any questions that they may have.
I have a question. Have the OSHA or FCC regulations been relaxed under the current administration? I hope not.
No, not that, not as they relate to these uses, not that I'm aware of, no.
Could you check into that, please?
In fact, I'll answer definitively no. In fact, it was the prior administration where a lot of these things happened, the relaxation.
Well, if it happened in the prior administration, I would be surprised to find out, though I'd be happy to find out that they have been increased under the current administration.
Laura, I believe the changes that Scott is referring to that happened, I think, in 2012 was facilitating the timing of the siting and adjusting the shot clocks for co-locations of towers. I don't believe any of the health standards for the EF emissions, which is what you're concerned about,
right,
have been changed at all. I think they get adjusted, and Scott, you can correct me, by the different rolls out of the technology, but they haven't changed. And that's what the Telecommunications Act did, is a preempted local review on the basis of potential health impacts. You can review this on the basis of its location, aesthetic issues, and essentially straightforward like that, but you can't get into the health issues.
And the
board can't get into health issues?
No, it's been precluded by federal law.
Huh.
But Laura, I can send you a really good paper that I found when Scott came before us before. You remember I had all those weird questions for him?
Yeah.
And I can send that to everybody so you can look at what the regulations are and what we can and can't look at. It was very interesting.
Okay.
I'll send that to everybody.
Yeah. For what it's worth, the technology that is used in this industry is extremely low power. Just not to be confused with anything, it's a radio signal. And now they operate at different frequencies. Some of the frequencies that they operate at were your UHF, or a little higher than that. But it's a radio frequency, essentially. And the regulations that have been in existence for, 30 years with these signals, they are, they picked a level that was safe. And then they went, say, 10 or 50 times lower than that to be the maximum. We're usually about 500 times less than that which we are legally permitted to emit. That's how low power this really is.
I have a question. I saw your application for the Bliss Towers back in 2019. Was it June of 2019? And I didn't get a chance to read it because it was like 80-something pages. So my question is, were there studies done where there were other sites other than now you want to do Providence Hall, which is right across the street, across Columbia Street from Bliss Towers, where there's studies done as to, number one, why there, and have there been other places looked at?
Sure. As part of our application, what we'll do is we'll provide you with an analysis that shows you why we need to be in this area. The RF engineer, and RF means radio frequency, he develops what they call a search ring. And that is just an area on a map that he determines based upon different factors where a new site has to be located. So we'll provide that to you. And usually it's a sufficient size where there are different alternative possibilities. But the engineer will explain why each site is chosen. So in this case, and what the board doesn't know, the site that we have right now was actually our primary candidate. It didn't work out originally. I think there were some lease issues originally. And so we walked away from it because we couldn't come to terms with the owner. We went with Bliss Towers, which we also thought was a little better because it was going to provide money to a quasi-governmental agency. When that fell through, we ended up going back to this owner and we were able to come to terms.
This is for internet, cell, everything. Wireless.
This is for wireless communications service through Verizon Wireless.
Okay.
And you will be able to, just out of curiosity, I suppose, tell us what area that particular instruments will cover?
Absolutely. Yeah, we will show you through some graphs that the RF engineer prepares, as well as a description. You should get a good sense of how far this will provide service.
So, Scott, what do you need from us tonight?
So, according to your law, one of the purposes of this meeting is for the board to identify any locations that you want us to analyze for visual impacts. I don't know if the board is in a position to do that. Sometimes with boards, we'll have a pre-application meeting and the board kind of goes back and talks to their people and you come up with a list and you give them to us. And then we'll, do a photo, a visual impact analysis to show you what this will look like from some different locations surrounding the property.
So line of sight kind of stuff, so that, if I was standing on Columbia Street looking up at the building, what would I be seeing? Is that what you're talking
about? Correct, exactly. They show the existing picture of the building, and then they simulate, if you can see the building from whatever, the Columbia Street location, they'll then simulate what the antennas and equipment would look like. I can tell you, like I said, from the view shed analysis that we have generated, the visibility of this is going to be minimal, but I can send that via email to the board so you can look at that to get an idea of where you might want this to be, analyzed from.
Scott, I think we would love that, actually.
Yeah, I would. Scott, did you do a visual analysis for the Bliss Tower application?
I recall, yes, we did that, but that may be, I think we did it on our own accord without input at first from the board. And so we thought, I don't think we had a pre-application meeting last time.
I don't recall.
Well, maybe if you have that, if that's different from what you were gonna send Betsy, send that along and they would get an idea of whatever viewpoints you took, if there's anything different they'd wanna see.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Board, does anyone have any more questions for Scott? All right, Scott, I guess we'll see you in June.
Okay, thank you very much for the special meeting. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Have a good night. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Very much.
So, As we discussed, or I sent around an email, I would like to go into executive session for an attorney-client discussion about legal issues that the board is presented with regard to some applications. And so I would need a motion to do that. We will then turn off the video live feed. We're going to make sure Scott Olson is gone. And we will cut off the radio stream. Tom will do that when we go into executive session. We're not going to be taking any action in executive session, just a discussion of legal issues. But we will come back out of executive session into the open meeting. I will inform Tom to put us back onto the radio so we can simply go through the formality of adjourning and closing the meeting. Because it's going to be hard to get back started on the YouTube thing. But like I said, we're not going to be doing any other actions on this. So if somebody can make a motion and we can proceed.
Is anyone willing to make a motion to go into executive session?
Mm-hmm.
Was that Teresa?
Yes, I make a motion. So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Just for the record, to be clarifying, the motion is to go into executive session for the purpose of an attorney-client discussion.
Linda, would you read the roll, please?
Yes. Larry? Clark?
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Betsy?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
And John?
Yes.
Okay, we will now go into executive session.
All right, and just before we lose it, Shaheem, I need you to turn off the video tube, and can you tell me why Scott Olson is still showing up on the on our Zoom meeting? Well, we lost. All right, we're back on the radio. We came out of executive session. The board just had a consultation with myself over the legal matters and took no action in executive session. Be ready for a motion to adjourn now, Betsy. Does he have anything else to cover?
Does anyone have anything else for this meeting? Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
John Cody, second?
Second.
Steven Stein. Linda, would you please do a roll call?
Steven.
Yes.
Maura.
Yes.
Teresa. Clark.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes. John Cody.
Yes.
Okay, all. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, everybody.